Anyway, fruit of devotion, the church. This teaching came out of a lot of discussion that we had out in Dover, Delaware, because we talked about the church a lot. I mean, that's what it's about. So, and some of the stuff I'll say we came from there, but some of the stuff we won't. So, Father, I pray that you would just speak to us, that you would bless us, that you would encourage us, that you would strengthen us, that you would just guide us. And, Father, I just, again, pray for all the people that are sick this morning, that you would just touch them, and also pray for those who are traveling, like the Fays as they went to San Diego, and that you would just bless their time with his mother, and just be with us, we pray. Go before us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So fruit of devotion, the church. One thing that came out very strong as we sat around this round table, had lots of discussions and met different people. Just to give you a sample, some of the people were there. There's a girl there, I think her name's Sherry. I met all these people in 48 hours and can't remember half of them, but you'll hear some of their names. But Curtis, who a guy that used to be part of Hell's Angels, and now he has a ministry to the 1%ers. Big guy. He could do it. A guy with my body couldn't get away with it, but he can do it. And spent $25,000 to take all of his tattoos off because they were not glorifying God. Now, some of them, he still got some that are just benign. But this girl, Sherry, I think was her name, she grew up on the streets. She was kicked out of her house when she was 4 years old. Grew up on the streets, was a prostitute. That's how she made her way. There's a Catholic priest that befriended her from time to time, would make sure she got a meal or a place to sleep and so forth. She got radically saved, and she is just ministering to the people that are just street people and stuff. But she oversees two churches, and God is just moving. So those were the kind of people that were there. And then there were some ones that had, it was from all over. Some people had coat and ties on, and it was just fantastic. Most enjoyable thing I've ever done as far as a group of believers. But anyway, you'll hear more. So we're building church, and I was really encouraged that what we're doing, that we're headed in the right direction, and we're really working on and building the church that God wants us to build. Okay? And what is that? That's a church that's biblical. And I just started writing down a bunch of things here that I'm just going to read off. It's a community of believers that have repented of their sins and have accepted Jesus as their Savior and Lord, that are looking for a place where they can be relational, like we've talked about, where if anybody goes through anything, they should not go through it alone. It's a place that has biblical leadership, you know, the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, that has fathers and mothers that stand up and take leadership positions, that raise sons and daughters, spiritual sons and daughters. It's God-ordained. It's Jesus-centered. It's Holy Spirit-led with the laying of our lives down one for another. It's where our minds are renewed. It's where our hearts are fed into and nurtured, and where we have the ability to express our hearts. It's a group of imperfect people. Anybody, any perfect people here? Oh, there is one back there. Perfect. No, perfect. Oh, I was going to say, we have one. No. Imperfect people that hang out together, reflecting God's love. There's not many things up there today because I just didn't have time. But there's a place that welcomes and reaches out to all kinds of different people who are not the are-nots, but they will be. Because all people matter to God, but not just to God. They matter to us. It's something God bought. It's something that belongs to God. It's something which will be built and loved by Jesus. It's like God bought it and passed it off to Jesus, and he's building it. He started at the cross and everything else, and you know, the John and all that stuff. Something whose head is Christ and is subject to Christ. It's a hospital. Haven't heard that word for a while, but it is. It's a hospital, so people can be healed of past hurts. And I think of this girl that's up in Syracuse, New York, how God just so healed her, and now she's being used as a vessel to heal others that have walked in prostitution and different things like that, and that reflect Jesus more and more. It's a place that can be messy. Anybody disagree with that? And it's a place that can get really messy. Anybody disagree with that? Something sanctified by Christ so we become who we really are. You know, it's when we're born again, we start that process of learning to walk out who we really are. It's called sanctification. Something that is a place of unity. Something that displays the wisdom of God. It's a place of power. It's a place of freedom. It's something that seeks God. It's something that abides in God. That's why we're having more and more prayer times. So people get to pray. Get to prayer on Monday. There's people get to prayer on Wednesday morning. We have a second Sunday tonight where people get gathered to pray. The third Sunday of the month, third Friday of the month, we have fasting and prayer, and then prayer on Friday night, because we want to seek God. We want to abide in God. We want to be led by His Holy Spirit. We want to be filled by His Spirit. And it's something where the gifts of Spirit are active, something that has intimate relationship with God, something that's based upon the Word of God, something where the Word of God is studied, something that acts as ambassadors, where people act as ambassadors of Christ. It's a place where grace is active, not only in us receiving it, but in us giving it. Grace is nothing if we take it and hoard it up. God doesn't hoard it up. He gives it away. We must give it away. It's something where mercy is present. And again, it's something where we must also give mercy. It's something where discipline can occur when it's necessary. It's something where truth is spoken in love. It's something where iron sharpens iron. That's a good one, isn't it? Something, see, I just got the green light on God. See, that's a problem with people running from churches, because oftentimes they miss the healing power of iron and sharpening iron. That's just my personal opinion anyway. Something where devotion to the apostles' teachings occur. Something where devotion to fellowship occurs. These sound familiar? Something where devotion to breaking bread occurs. Something where devotion to prayer occurs. And I just scratched the surface. Read the Bible. I didn't touch them all. It's a place where love is administered and love is shared, okay? Do you get the idea that the church is rather large and complex? It's because it is. And yet, in the end, it's really simple. What does it say at the end of 1 Corinthians 13? Faith, hope, and love. Those are the three. And in faith and hope and love will be grace and mercy and laying your life down for another and all those things that go with it. But it's simple. But the church was created by God for people that they would never be alone, that they would have relationship. It was created to be the gathering of His people so we could worship together and receive instruction, so that we can grow, so that the mother and fathers can speak into the sons and daughters. Not that they stay sons and daughters, but so that they become mothers and fathers. See, what is your dream? Is your dream for this place, or is your dream for the next church and the next church that's coming out of this place? We have to dream big. It's created for the gathering of people to worship together. It's God's way revealing Himself to the world. What's the church called to be? The light in the house that's sitting on the hill, right, that the light is going out from. Because the light draws in people like moths are attracted to fire. It's God's people submitting to the biblical definition of church. It's God's people meeting together as instructed. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, we talked about this. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as it is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. The truth of the matter is, it's a sad truth, it's a wrong truth, but out of sight, out of mind sometimes. And that's sad, but that's one of the benefits of meeting together. See, some say that when I meet on the golf course or I meet at Starbucks or something else, I'm fulfilling the meeting together. Well, technically, that's true. Because is the church this building? No. The church is you. Say, I am the church. I am the church. And look at the person to your left or right and say, you are the church. We are the church. If you're in Christ, you're the church. The church is called to meet together. But let me ask you a question. All these things I just read through, can they take place on a golf course or in a Starbucks? No. It's the true spirit of the biblical church being fulfilled if we don't meet together. And again, I'm not talking about classes where you go to other classes or you have Bible studies in your neighborhood or home groups or whatever types of things you do that you gather together. I'm not talking that those things aren't of God. It's the church meeting together. It's all part of what God's doing. But what I'm talking about is as I read through the New Testament, I see something different. When I read Peter, or I talk, see what Peter has to say, or Paul, or Luke, or John, or Matthew, or Mark, or whatever, writing to a group of people, they were writing to something that was organized, that gathered together, that had leadership, that had a shape, that had a form. I mean, do you agree with that? I mean, when you think about it, when you look at Ephesians or when they're being rebuked in Revelation 3. The seven churches. Okay? It's about gathering together. It's about participating in those things I listed and much more. See, I see a group of people that God is putting together that have like vision, that flow in unity, that go in the same direction, that have the same God-given direction, that exercise their gifts, and the anointing and the things they're called to do, to go where Holy Spirit is leading and impacting this world, because the church was never defined or meant to stay within these four walls. When we go out, we are to be the church. We're to take the encouragement, the edification, the instruction, the things that we have learned and the things that we study on our own, and we're to share it with others, especially those that don't believe. But not only that, we can also share it with others that go to other church to encourage, to build up, not for the purpose of getting them to come to our congregation, but for the purpose of building up the church universal. See, if there's another church that's really growing and not just numbers, I could care less about numbers, but it's really growing in spirit and impacting for God, then we need to rejoice. And we also need to fellowship with them. So some of it falls on us, and we learn how to do what they're doing. See, it's not about this little club. See, I see a God-established government in place, giving direction. You know, it's important for apostles and prophets and evangelists, pastors and teachers, and other fathers and mothers to be stepping up and doing what they're called. Don't you love how Pam mothers the children in this church? I mean, it's just amazing. It's wonderful. The sad part of it, though, is people often get hurt by what they call the church. But is it really church, or is it fallible people? One of the things we talked about out there is how there's these expectations for leadership that can be pressure to be perfect, to make no mistakes, and when you do make a mistake, you lose part of your congregation. But it also goes amongst us, you know. When there's mistakes learned, do you realize mistakes are the greatest teachers, can be the greatest teacher? They really can be. We need to grasp that, because every person in this room, you're going to make mistakes. But they can be great teachers. Is God's church following God's commands, or is it people doing their own thing? See, therein is the paradox. God uses fallible people to build his perfect church. I have to admit, it's not how I would do it. But the church is led by fathers and mothers that are also fallible. Talked about Pam. She's a great mother over the children, but she's fallible. Comes back to Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpening iron. And yes, there might be tears among the wheat in the church. In fact, there are. Matthew 13. You ever want to burn some of them? Throw them out? What's God say? Don't touch them. Because we might damage some of the wheat if we pull them up. But he'll take care of it. Plus, we really can't see people's hearts. You know? It's okay to judge sin in people's lives when you see sin. It is not okay to judge people. We don't know their history. I think of my ex-wife and how I judged her. And then I found about her history and I had to repent before the Lord. And I did it with tears. Because what she went through, no person should ever go through. So we're not to judge people. We're to love people. But yet, we're to encourage people in their sin to walk out of their sin. All sin, because sin is sin, is sin is sin. We don't just pick on some people. Don't you get the feeling sometimes that the church at large picks on certain people and doesn't pick on other people? Well, we can't do that. We got to love all people and judge their sin. We can't see the hearts of people. So, remember Chicken Little? What are we to do? What are we to do? What are we to do? We're to trust God and follow him. Doing what he's called to do. Because we know this, God is good. Look to the person next to you and say, God is good. Now you say, I believe God is good. We've all been there where we've questioned God. I have. But you know what? He's still good. He's still good. And because of who he is, we are to spread seed and father the fruit and mother the fruit that comes out of that seed. And if some of that seed decides to go off and be a tear, that's not your fault. That's on them. But how many of us have felt condemned because, oh, it's my fault that that person is that way. Well, guess what? It's not your fault. People make their own choices. See, we're to be the church that God has called us to be. How we do that? Going back to Hebrews 10. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. That's what the church is called to do. To draw near to him with a true heart in full measure of faith. It's like what Jerry was sharing. To keep praying. And we keep praying because we believe he answers prayer. Because it says in the Bible, he answers prayer. Now, there's some things I've been praying for decades. Is it because I don't have faith that they haven't been answered? No. but it's faith that helps me to continue to walk the walk regardless and to continue to pray. It's about having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience by the blood of Christ. That's what he did. It's to have our bodies washed with pure water, baptism. It's to hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering in those hard times. Remembering Psalm 23, you know, 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will walk through. Janita's about to have a baby. She's going to come to the point where she may ask Jacob why he did this to her. She may get a little upset. This is what mothers have told me, okay? But she will walk through it. And then when she sees, all of that will be forgotten. And that's how it is when we walk through hard times. By centering our lives on Christ and to see him who has made promises and is faithful to fulfill his promises, by being more interested in what we are called to give than what we can get, by being the biblical church of God and walking in all the points, all those points I mentioned before, and the rest of the Bible. See, that's the only way we can do verses 24 and 25. It's the only way we can stir one another up to love. It's the only way we can stir one another into good works. It's the only way we can not neglect to meet together as a habit of some. It's the only way that we might all be encouraged by one another as we gather together and allow the blood of Jesus to sprinkle over us and wash us to seek him. So why do we want to do all of that? So God's church is built and shines forth across the land. See, obviously, this author of Hebrews, whoever this person is concerned about a number of things, including those who forsake the communal obligations of attending the gatherings. Because we can't become all God has called us to be by ourselves. I can't. I gave a testimony this past week about some of the things I've gone through and how I couldn't have made it without fathers and mothers in my life, without relationship. When I was laying there in bed, dying from a brain aneurysm, and somebody else took care of the faith. The other things. We need each other. We can't become all God has called us to be by ourselves, because we are created to meet as the church that God describes in his word, the points I made earlier and many more. They're all through the Bible. F.F. Bruce, a great author, wrote this. The writer of Hebrews is concerned because if they don't meet, they will lose their distinctive Christian faith and outlook. All the things previously mentioned, plus whatever else is in the Bible. F.F. Bruce goes on to say, every opportunity of coming together and enjoying their fellowship in faith and hope must be welcomed and used for mutual encouragement. Why? Because we want to build the kingdom of God. We want to see, I want to see every person in this room not only thrive, but succeed in all that God has for them. And part of the answer lies in Ephesians 3, 7 to 10. Of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This is an amazing call. This is the call of Paul, of God upon Paul's life. But guess what? He passed it on to us. This is our call. And we can do it because Jesus is the light of the world. But not only that, according to Matthew 5:14, his followers are also the light of the world. See, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. Say it like you mean it. And what is this light that we carry forth? Well, it says right here, the proclaiming to the Gentiles the good tidings of the unsearchable riches of Christ. And we're to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages, that the Gentiles have salvation, the gospel is for Gentiles, and through the church that this is done. And I'm not forsaking the Jewish nation. I'm not forsaking Israel. I pray for them. But we will have opportunity to speak to them too. And it's prophetic that there's a great awakening coming to the nation of Israel. And we need to pray that. So I was just thinking of a friend of mine who's Jewish who was walking by a church and nobody had ever shared the gospel with him, and he just felt compelled to walk into the church. And he walked in the church, fell down on his knees and repented before the Lord and got saved. He just knew there was a Jesus. But we're to be those mouthpieces. And we get encouraged as we gather together to do those things, because we don't want to stay in the building. The church was never designed. Listen to this. The church was never designed to exist for itself. It's to exist for God. It's to exist for His glory. It's to make known the manifold wisdom of God in verse 10 there in Ephesians. See, the community of believers, the worship team wants to come back up. The community of believers is called to serve throughout the universe as an object lesson of the wisdom of God, which we are strengthened to do as we gather together. See, we're coming together as a group of believers in a gathering as a church is powerful. It's what God has set in place for Him to display Himself to humans, to the Gentiles, and even unto the angels. I mean, just go into 1 Corinthians 14 and start reading through there about what the value of 1 Corinthians 12 and 13 is when people gather together, how those gifts will touch those who don't know Him. So let's not forsake the gathering together of the saints, so we can walk in all the things we listed, so we can encourage each other, so we can be the church that God wants us to be, so we can grow Him, and so we can go out and be the light to the world by being humble, by laying down our lives, by following His commandments, and by being who God has gifted us to be. Amen?